Well, obviously, yesterday we celebrated a pretty big win up in Lexington, and you know, looked at the tape, tried to learn a little bit about it, and then we went right back to work and tried to start preparing for the University of Tennessee. And our coaches are working hard today to try to get ready because we know it's going to be a tough game, emotional game for both teams. So we're looking forward to it and got back to work.
Coach, I guess you're all in an observed scene today this weekend. Can you just kind of speak to what that class has meant? Takes on new meaning after
Well, it probably does. You know, if we go to a bowl, you know, obviously they, you know, there's some guys before them, you know, that really got the ball rolling, but they picked it up, and this senior class was not supposed to be the one that got us over the hump, and but they worked extremely hard, and they have a lot of pride, and you know, they back here playing in their senior year at Vanderbilt, which I think is fantastic, and you know, those guys will go on, get a degree, and I think be great citizens for the rest of their lives. So every time you see a senior walk out there, and it just seems like yesterday that they were here on an official visit as a senior in high school, and you're just amazed how fast it goes. And they are too. You know, if you ask them, you know, they'll be the first ones to tell you that it just goes by too fast.
When you say they weren't necessarily the ones that were supposed to get y'all over the line?
Well, you know, we had some, I don't know if you want to call it star power last year, John Goff and Earl Bennett and those guys, you know, and that everybody, you know, when you look at this year's seniors, we have some outstanding players, but we didn't have the same number. We had about 14, 15 of some guys are going to come out. So wasn't the big expectations that several classes have had. Jay's senior year, I think, was pretty big expectations. But they've handled it extremely well. Our early success, you know, they were pretty even keeled. And then when we struggled a little bit, they stayed and kept working. Most of them are on the leadership council, so they helped the coaching staff keep everybody calm. And I think did a great job of leadership.
You talked about the lack of expectations. Do you feel like maybe that worked to their advantage a little bit?
Well, I'm not saying we didn't expect. I mean, I'm saying the public, and I'm not talking about internally. I'm talking about externally. The public sees Earl Bennett not coming back. They see first-round draft pick, you know, going to the Bears, and Jonathan Goff, a third-round pick, and a bunch of guys who signed. They said, well, you know, Vanderbilt lost a lot, so... That's what I was talking about.
Bobby, what kind of response have you gotten since you've gotten back from Kentucky about being bowled
over the 16? Well, you know, a lot of people, you know, probably the common message I get on my phone or my answering machine or whatever is great job getting six, let's get eight. And, so thank you very much. That's what everybody's thinking right here at Vanderbilt. You know, we're still not finished. We talked about it when we were trying to get to six. That wasn't our minimum. That was our minimum, wasn't our maximum. So we're trying to move on beyond that and, you know, keep going. So.
That was your message to the team Saturday, too, wasn't it? I mean, the players were already talking.
Sure, sure. I mean, well, y'all think we're going to just take a vacation and, you know, get about 36 holes in this week. But, No. We got a lot of work to do. We can get a lot of things better, you know, on our football team for these next two games. And I think our players realize that, and I know our coaching staff does. And, you know, sometimes we're kicking ourselves as a coaching staff for getting our players in a bad situation and then disappointed sometimes when they don't take advantage of a good situation. And that's coaching. You got to get both of those things corrected.
Coach, it seemed when the game got close the other night that Chris Nixon and DJ sort of took over the game and sort of said, we're not going to let this team win. What kind of leadership have they given in that game?
Well, you know, D- Chris as a quarterback. You know, he's a natural leader, and, you know, I think he's overcome a lot in his last 2 years. And, you know, it was great to see him perform at a high level against Kentucky. And then DJ is a very quiet leader, very quiet leader. But he sets an example about, you know, trying to make plays. I mean, he's confident in his ability, and he doesn't sit around hoping the other team's going to give him something. He tries to go make some things happen, and about 99% of the time, they're very positive things happen.
How is Tennessee Week this year different for you than the past?
Well, you know, I'm going to have to deal with the six win stuff here for probably another day or so, and then get back on track. And, you know, just after that, I don't think it's going to be that much different. You know, obviously Tennessee's situation is much different over there for them, but, you know, we can't get caught up in that. Coach Fulmer had a fantastic career over there. I couldn't imagine, you know, being that successful in the SEC is what he's done. It's just, you know, unfortunate that it ended that way, and, you know, I'm gonna enjoy, you know, our last game against each other for at least his tenure at Tennessee. It might go somewhere else.
Are there certain moments from the time you've gone head to head with Phil that maybe stand out in your mind more than others, for whatever reason, instances in games where you realize what a competitive coach he was, and
all of that? Well, you know, they were taking it to us early in my career here, and, you know, we've gotten a little closer and a little closer and a little closer, and, you know, the 2005 game is, I think, a great example. And then last year, we had a chance to win that, and, you know, they just reached up and went a little higher and got the win, and, you know, I think that's great leadership by him. So, going to be sorry to see him not over there, you know, coaching for them.
Talk to him personally since?
No, I figured the last thing he needed was, you know, me calling him up and wasting his time. But I did make a public statement, and I'm making one now. You know, I think he had a, you know, fantastic career. You know, not many coaches can say he can come even close.
What's bowl preparation going
to be
like? You've got a couple of weeks to prepare.
Well, just to tell you the truth, I've never been to a bowl. So when I was defense coordinator at Clemson, we qualified for one, but I received the head coaching job at Furman and left before we played, so I've never been to one. But our staff has had plenty of experience, and we'll sit down, we'll map it out. Again, it depends on when you play. You know, when you start your preparation, and we've got exams to deal with. Most of the tie-in bowls with the SEC are late, you know, December or early January, so hopefully we can get exams over with and we don't have to worry about them. And then it also gives you an opportunity to practice some of your younger guys and give them opportunities to learn. It's sort of like another spring practice. So we'll try to use all those things to our advantage and get ready to try to win a game if we get in one.
You go to bowl games as a player?
No. So
this is your first
one? My first one, yeah. I went to watch one time. Woody Hayes beat
Charlie
Bowman. I was there. On about the last row back up right there. Yeah.
How is Upson doing after all the times he ran into on Saturday night?
We nicknamed him the Pinata. Yeah, because they were trying to bust him up. But, you know, just unusual. I think they felt like they could get pressure by going through the wall that we have back there to protect him. And, you know, just a little careless and going in there. But he's fine. He's getting some treatment, and I think he'll be ready to go.
Mark came out for a little bit, went back in. Is he okay?
Yeah, he's okay. Right now, you know, Jamie Graham is still a question mark. Our wide receiver core is again, very thin. George Smith is play-to-play with his hamstring, and Alex Washington sprained his ankle.
Is
in the game. So we don't know how good he's going to be because none of those guys practiced yesterday.
That said, do you expect DJ to go back over to receiver again?
Probably be a pretty good chance that he'll get some reps in there at receiver. And, he's a playmaker, I think. We ought to be shot if we don't get him over there somewhere.
Well, is it a fair question to ask you what took so long?
Well, you got to realize, how much preparation it takes to play cornerback in the SEC. And when you have somebody who's stepping up like Jamie Graham did, for our receivers, and we weren't so beat up then, you got to weigh the cost of what he loses defensively. It's tough. I mean, you go run a fly or a deep pass as a wide receiver, you're going all out as hard as you can go, and you do a couple of those, or you catch a pass and you run a long way, and next thing you know, we kick off, and DJ, get in there and play some defense. It's tough. That's why you don't see many people do it.
Looks like he handled it pretty well.
Well, he's in great shape, and he'll be the last one to say, no, I can't do it. So we sort of have to be the gauge and make sure we're not overusing him. And, most of the things we were doing with him were quick runs and things like that. And, if trained and played wide receiver all those years, he would have been, to me, all SEC caliber kind of guy.
Good chance this will be the last home game for him.
That I don't know. The great thing about the NFL draft now is they give you an advisory committee report, and we'll certainly send that in as very soon to get DJ registered for that. And, I'll sit down with him. And DJ's a smart guy. Education is important to him, and I think no matter what happens, he'll get his degree here. He was banging on the door. I hope you don't mind me telling, but he was banging on the door Sunday morning about 10 o'clock wanting to get in the academic support area so he could finish a paper. So he'll make a good decision.
What does it feel like getting a favorite game in the
country? Good. We've been, I've been favored many times in my career. I don't think it affects your preparation. It doesn't affect your respect for the other team. To us, that's just noise.
Larry mentioned the 400 congratulatory emails that have come in since Saturday night. Do you have a sense of appreciation for the fans of Vanderbilt? I know you have to talk about the next seven or eight games, but the appreciation and just the joy that the fans, the long-suffering fans of Vanderbilt.
Sure, we had a group of fans out here meet us, at 2:30, quarter to 3 in the morning when we got back, they're very appreciative, and, they've been wanting this for a long time, and just to say that they're bowl eligible, that's what I hope to give them, a lot sooner than we did. They're great fans and help us. I was also very pleased. We've had a bunch of ex-players contact us too, and that means a lot to a coach. And when the guys you didn't coach tell you they appreciate your efforts and know how hard it is and congratulate you. So those ex-players are great guys.
Nixon fully 100% now.
Yeah, he's going to have general body soreness, when you get hit that many times and play that many snaps and run as many yards as he did. So, but no injuries.
Is it his job again? Are you still kind of going week to week at this point?
Well, we always do everything week to week, every position, but he played awfully well, and it depends on game plan stuff, what we want to do, and I'm not interested in telling anybody right now.
Bobby, can you appreciate the, like Whit Taylor, the guy that quarterbacked the last winning team here, last bowl team here? I know he's got a kid, I think, in college now. Can you comprehend what it means to somebody has gone through as many years as these fans?
Well, they, probably not, to tell you the truth. You know, when we beat Tennessee in 2005, you know, I admitted it, that I was a little surprised by the reaction. You know, as many people came up and thanked us and, you know, all that stuff. So, you know, it's the same kind of situation. They've wanted something for so long and they haven't gotten it. And I have not been in that situation. We wanted it ever since we got here, and we've been trying to work hard to get it done. But those people have been doing it for a long time.
Fulmer said yesterday he's going to be starting Crompton at quarterback. How different does he maybe help their offense, or where are you seeing him with them?
Well, you know, I think Jonathan Crompton is a good quarterback. It just is very hard to get a career's worth of experience when you start your senior year. And I think that was probably the only problem that I could see. And I have not seen a lot of film yet, to tell you the truth. I've seen a couple games. But I expect Jonathan will play great this Saturday, and Tennessee will play great. And, you know, I understand those kind of questions you have as a coach. You know, who are you going to start at this position, that position? You know, we've been going through it ourselves this year. So it's a tough question, and you often just go by, you know, what you plan to do, and sometimes you go by gut feeling. Sometimes you go by the film and practice and, you know, try to take the emotion out of it. So there's no easy way to make those tough decisions.
That indecisiveness or that uncertainty at certain positions, but particularly a quarterback, I would think just makes kind of cast a shadow over the whole situation.
Well, I don't know. There's been all kind of situations. You know, you can see Coach Spurrier won with running quarterbacks in and out, and he lost one this past weekend because he's running them in and out. So he was brilliant, and he's not. So, you know, it's, you never know. You never know.
A couple more questions?
You're going to be kind of busy on Saturday, but a little eager to try and keep an eye. You're going to have DJ out there, Eric Berry, maybe the two best corners in this league?
He's pretty special. There's no doubt about it. He's very physical. You know, he's fast. He makes plays. He's, you know, they're a lot alike. You know, they're not afraid to go after the ball. And you better watch it if you throw it near Eric Berry, because he's a very good player. I like to watch him play. And they are, I think, two of the best in the country. And I think you can see why they're on the several watch lists for defensive back awards. And, you know, it'll be fun to watch them play against each other.
So with your background being primarily defensive, does that kind of give you some special pride in the way your unit is playing?
Well, yes, it does. You know, you look and, you know, Coach Fowler and Coach Bryant, Coach Logo, and Coach Beelan have done a fantastic job of selling our players on the type of defense we're going to run, and we're going to be true to it. And right up to the end in the Kentucky game, you know, we were trying to be aggressive and stay aggressive. So they've done a great job of selling that to the players. And as a defensive coach, you know how important that is, and you appreciate getting that done, you know, in the minds of your players. And, you know, sometimes guys, you know, just aren't confident enough to try to do what you ask them to do, but our guys step up and try to do exactly what they're coached. So I'm very proud of them for doing that.
Was that last interception by DJ, was that about his textbook?
It was textbook. You know, I think he had a pre-snap tip from Coach Bryant, and he said it's set his foot in the ground about as good as you can, and then went straight for the football and just out-fought the guy for it. And he's made a bunch of them. So, yeah, it's great to see that. As a defensive coach, a defensive back coach, you know, you love that. But
break on the ball like that?
Yeah. they flipped the calendar before I got over to it.
When you
they timed me with an hourglass.
Coach, when you arrived here, did you have a timetable that you could have set for yourself on when you would become bowl eligible?
Eventually. So, as long as they would let us keep working here. Not really. You know, we just try to do our very best every week and every year. I think recruiting's gotten better. I think our players are getting better. It's just a process that, you know, nobody can predict how long it's going to take, and nobody's going to predict what happens after this. You know, like I said before, if you ever get to a point where everybody says, well, that's success, you're not over that hump that everybody talks about. It's there. It's still there. And we play in a tough league. You know, Tennessee's got some fantastic athletes, and, you know, we're going to have to play great to have a chance to win. So, nothing's over.
Thank you very much, Coach.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.